I love listening to Carla Donnelly. Thank goodness I don't need her services anymore. But you bring John Duffy in here, so I don't have to go see him. So I appreciate you, Nan Cohen.
Do you like the fact that he comes in here and has everything turned upside down in 2 seconds his demands?
He's so cool, calm, and collected, though.
He's the man.
He's the best.
He is the man. What's going on with you?
Oh, it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah?
Just nonstop.
You're looking dapper over there tonight.
Working on some things.
Yeah. Yep. I'm working on workout clothes.
Lester Holt's retiring. I could be the guy.
I heard you. Did you breaking news here tonight?
Yeah, we're gonna
break news.
There's somebody going like this. I can't believe that kid actually did something with his life.
We're gonna break the news. I've missed you.
I missed you
too.
A
couple weeks there, but yeah, and I'm back around again.
Soon.
And then I'm gonna disappear for the summer.
Where are you going? Back to South Beach.
Bye bye bye.
Anyway,
guess where I'm going Friday night.
Where are you going Friday night? Hey Nan, where are you going Friday night?
Guess where I'm going. You don't know? Barry Manilow.
Can I tell you something? First thing I thought of when I heard Barry was coming to town. What an incredible talent, man.
He is amazing. Yeah.
And all those jingles he wrote too during the heyday when he was starting out.
And do you know that he literally knows every jingle from the first one, every word all the way through? Every one of them.
He's one of the last great of the old
This is
Vegas
his last tour. You know, he's kicking it off here.
This is last tour.
This is it. Then he's going permanent residency.
Johnny Mathis stepping down.
So yeah.
The world, the times they are changing. Yeah. But we have Michael Bublé.
We do.
He's still pretty good.
All right. I love you. All right. Welcome to another edition of Totally Talking Divorce. I'm so grateful. I posted something up there. Just having the two of you and the two of them joining me in the studio. And Rob, he's hiding over there right now. John Duffy and Carla Donnelly. And Dr. John Duffy.
She's a doctor too. Yeah, they just don't say it.
But Carla and I are here all the time. Yeah. We're so blessed to have you, you know, walk in the door. You know, even as give us a little, you know, do this, do that. We got it all done for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You want to say hi?
Hi.
No, it's your son.
Oh, Nate. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
He does all the requesting, and then he just goes, okay. All right. It's nice to have a celebrity here, isn't it, Carla?
It is. It's an honor.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, your name literally has crossed Carla and I, our paths, in the last, let's say the last quarter.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And your name is constantly circling around us, but amazing work that you do, and I wanted to bring you in the studio before we take a little hiatus here for the summer. I wanted to just bring it in because, you know, we've covered every possible entity of divorce, and we're going to pick that up back again in the fall. But I wanted to get, as this crunch time goes on for, you know, children with camps and divorces finalizing and things going on, I wanted to bring you in just to get your perspective because you're always so spot on.
Well, thanks, but it's a crazy time of year. There's so many transitions this time of year, and there's a lot going on, and transitions mean change. It means the unknown. It means uncertainty, and there can't be greater causes of stress than those things. And when you fill your bucket up, it only has this much space left, a little tiny bit of space left, and it overflows, and that's when we become symptomatic. That's when things go haywire.
And it's as Carl and I, you know, people plan. They try to make things work schedule wise, this, that, and the other. But it just never seems to go the way these people plan. You know, custody schedules, things change. The evolution of when a divorce finalizes kind of clips people at their wings. You know, we just can't seem to get the peace where we're at peace. Without having everything circle around us. And you always, because I'll call you in a panic, I'll call you with this one. You always seem to get into the mind enough to make the reality show through for me. And I know you do that for all your patients, but your perspective on these things just amazes me. Carla's shaking her head. Is it the truth?
Oh my.
We did, this is what we call the Dr. Duffy effect, right? You and I were on the phone, and ultimately we said to each other, we epically have to
get John on the phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, but
at the same time, it's
and he just like brings reason and calmness. And, you know, I pride myself as being the one who generally brings reason and calmness to my conversations as a divorce attorney. But sometimes we have these situations where the two of us, we just don't know where to turn. And then we talk to John, and John just calms everything down and distills everything. And he says things, and it's just they just blow my mind.
Well, that's a pretty big pedestal I'm going to have to leap from. Well, the thing is, I think you guys, when you're dealing with the divorce issues that you're dealing with, there's obviously a lot of legality. And I'm from a completely different perspective. And sometimes that perspective is kind of even can go counter to the advice or to the things that you're giving. And so I think it rounds it out.
Go ahead, Carla. I thought I was getting a message over here. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say that's very true, John. But sometimes you have to take both perspectives into account before figuring out what to do next. Because sometimes, you know, we want to put the client, shape the client, their behavior, what they're doing, to put them in the best possible light. But sometimes John gets on the phone and says, no, let them fail. And we talk about that all the time. We know what John's going to say. John's going to say, let them fail. And, you know, we're trying to prop them up because legally that's better for them. But sometimes it's not the best outcome.
Does it happen a lot that it depends on the client themselves and how compliant they are to what you're asking them to do?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about the crisis phase. So this is a client who's not compliant. It's a client who is, you know, doing things that are destructive and, you know, like letting a house go into foreclosure or, you know, letting an addiction get away from them.
And when you put these pieces together, and you know, John will always say, well, Nan, you're always trying to fix it. It's hard. It's hard to let somebody tank. I know the success comes from that. You know, eventually you have to do it because you've taught us that that's what we have to do. But it's tough. It's, you know, there's times we go to bed and we're carrying the burdens with us over these cases. And it's...
And I sleep well. You know, because I think...
Did you hear that, Rob? And he sleeps well.
He does everything well.
he sleeps well.
But I think the reason is because I look at it from a perspective of growth, right? And these people are only going to... The best way we learn is trial and error, hundreds of studies. And so you can only force something on a non-compliant person so long until you step back and go, okay, well, you're just going to figure it out. And it's going to hurt a little bit, but then you're going to know. And then hopefully, you know, won't make the same mistake again.
We're going to take a break here. So I don't want to really start off a hedge of a topic, but I want to delve into... You know, divorce, you see people tell me they're surprised that they're in this process of divorce. They didn't know what this was going to entail. I always look at it that you have to have some hunches that this is going to become part of your world. And you're giving me the side eye on that one?
Well, just because some people are always, they're the last to know. Everybody else can see it, but they're the last to know. But if we can talk about that if you'd like.
I'm amazed by the topic because then on you get the beginning part of that, right? And then they're in Carla's office, but they're preparing to, you know, take on the world and define every ounce of what they're going to be getting and doing and et cetera. And I'd like to just navigate from the beginning, and then I'm going to step into the middle, and we'll step into the end.
All right.
But I know Rob wants to take a break.
Let me get a break in here. We'll come back. Much more of Nan Cohen, divorce reality expert, John Duffy, Carla Donnelly. Coming up next hour, Lenny McAllister will be in the air chair with me. It's all about Decision 2025 up until 10 o'clock tonight. Polls will close at 8. All right. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. All right, Nan Cohen is here tonight, divorce reality expert, attorney Carla Donnelly, and our good friend John Duffy is here as well. So go right ahead, Nan Cohen.
Thanks for telling me that was a little too tight. But
well, yeah, hurts. I mean, I looked over and you had a purple thumb.
Donna's favorite
does
color,
it, does
purple.
It match?
So is that a trigger finger? Is that what you're dealing with?
Yeah. And it's so sore, the tendon's so sore. Okay, so back to it. We stopped with you, Dr. Duffy.
I'm listening.
Can we continue onward?
Yeah.
Because you know where I'm going to slide in. Eventually here.
Well, which side do you want to go to?
Both.
Well, let's talk about people who are blindsided by someone coming in to, like, say, Carla's office and saying that someone just told them they want a divorce and they can't understand why, or coming into my office. And I think the main reason is, and most everybody else would say, oh, yeah, I could see that coming a mile away. But the fact of the matter is that we don't see things in our life that that doesn't serve our purpose, or that don't serve our purpose. And maybe I'm happy with the way things are. Maybe security is my main drive and what I need. And so I'm getting all that. My kids are in the school district they are. I like my house. And my relationship, yeah, it could use some work, but that's all right. And so then this person, unbeknownst to them, and Carla and I were talking a little bit, and they might have been wanting it for 5 years and not saying anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're done. And they've washed all the water out of the dish rag. We'll talk about that in a minute from the other side. But that's why people get surprised, because they really only see the world in the way that they want to see the world.
And that's the part that kind of, when we're sitting there, Carla, and we're talking to these people, and it's totally empty.
Denial.
It's just so empty. And the hard thing about it is like Carla say, I can't stop this now, because the process has started, right? And then they're sitting there, and there's just no way to bring that train back to the, it's going. And there's just no return on it. And so then you step into what?
You mean when I see somebody?
Right.
Well, when I see somebody, then it's a process, right? They have to get there. When you get blindsided, when my mom and dad, when they passed, they had Alzheimer's and dementia. So when they passed, it was peace. It felt like a relief, right? But if someone dies in their sleep overnight and you wake up the next morning and they're gone, that's when your grief starts. That's when the pain starts. So it's the same thing with divorce for somebody who just found out something that they had no clue about. And so that whole process has to begin. And they're very, very vulnerable at that point. So if they come in and talk to Carla, and you want to take it from there, where someone, the other person says, here's a great deal, you know, that's what Carla thinks, this is something you should consider, they're not ready. They are not ready at all.
And so when we talk about, I always say to clients, it's your timeline. It's not ours. But sometimes we get to those places where this particular situation escalates into, oh my gosh, I got to do a custody schedule now. And I have to take the things that I knew that was in an intact family is going to be a broken family, whereas we're going to have different schedules and different responsibilities, and somebody's got to step up for this and step up for that. And Carl and I sometimes talk about it. I mean, they're just lost. They're lost through the process that we can't stop.
Well, what do you see, Carla, when they come in and that's the situation?
Well, you know, we were just talking how, first of all, everybody sees it but them, and they start telling me how things are going, and it sounds awful. Like their spouse, I said, when was the last time you had a conversation? When was the last time you had sex? You know, and they're trying to figure out how old their youngest child is. And, you know, when, you know, their spouse calls them names, and they, you know, it sounds like a terrible marriage. And I remember as a young attorney thinking, why is this person so upset that their marriage is over when it sounds like it was a terrible marriage? And I realize now as an older attorney that, you know, they were getting what they needed out of that marriage, whether it was a good marriage or not. It was their normal. And I have so much to tell them about what this process is going to be, but I'm always trying to think, what do they need to know now versus what are they going to need to know 5-6 steps down the line? At that point, they can't process all that. I'm just trying to get them a game plan to get through the next couple of weeks.
And that's why I always say it's just as important to have your team put together. And, you know, when people come into me working and they say to me, oh, I have a therapist. That's great. But do you have the right therapist for your case? I have an attorney. Do you have the right attorney for your case? This is where I say you've got to reach out to get the proper people in place to build that core around you to get you through these things. We're going to take another commercial break. But before we do, I want to give out some information. Dr. John Duffy, how can they reach you?
You can just look me up.
There you go. They can contact me and I can get them to you. Carla Donnelly.
Well, I'm at the law firm of Petragallo, Gordon, Alfano, Bosick and Responte, but if you just Google Petragallo,
it all comes up.
You'll find me.
And of course, you can find me at divorcerealityexpert.com. You can always reach me, reach out to an email. I always get people with the direction they need pointed in. So, Rob, you going to take that break?
Are you going to stick around for Monday's show, Medical Frontiers, and we can take care of your trigger finger? I mean,
I think we're going to do that.
You should.
I love him.
All right, stick around. We've got Lenny McAllister coming up in just a little over a half hour. We'll be following tonight's election. Of course, the primary is underway. Of course, everyone taking a deep dive into the Democratic candidates. Of course, the incumbent mayor, Ed Gainey, the challenger, a very familiar name in Pittsburgh, former councilman, now Allegheny County Controller, Corey O'Connor. So that's all coming up still tonight right here on KDK. Right now, time to get to the news. Paul is just a couple of minutes away, so stay with us. It's your Pratt Pack tonight on KDKA. All right, back. Nan Cohen, Total Talk. Dr. John Duffy is here and attorney Carla Donnelly. So back to what you do best, divorce reality expert, Nan.
So I'm going to lay it out there because we went and Lenny came in. I got sidetracked, so I didn't really catch up with the two of you in that commercial break. But literally, I put up today that you were coming. And between the instant messages, the text messages, and a couple phone calls, Nan, are you going to get Dr. Duffy to talk about narcissistic people, narcissistic behavior? It's constantly in my world. Help me.
Well,
Help me, Doc.
You live in the higher echelons of narcissism, so of course you can't avoid it. No, I mean, it's...
Wait, was that a compliment, Rob?
No, I didn't say you were.
Rob, was that a compliment? No, he's not saying a word.
Look, if you do you live around people who are extroverted, right?
Yeah.
They're going to tend to have more of those, tend to have more tendencies. A little redundant, but you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
So it's not a bad thing to be confident. It's not a bad thing to be extroverted. It's just when you cross a line to where things become maladaptive in your relationships, in your life, in your occupation because of those things. So it's basically any personality is fine unless you turn the volume up too high. So now, do you want to know about narcissism? In particular?
Of course I do.
Well, I'm not going to read the DSM because
that's okay.
Put everybody to sleep.
That's okay.
But like gaslighting is a term that's usually associated with narcissistic behavior. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yes.
Carla.
Oh, comes in and says, they're gaslighting me.
That's the term.
Do you know where it comes from?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It came from a film.
Yeah.
But the husband was doing to the wife was... every day was turning the gaslight slightly dimmer. And she
telling her she's crazy.
She would complain about it and he would say, you're crazy. It's the same every day. And
right. Well, so. I mean, Hermann Goebbels was Hitler's propaganda minister. And he said, if you tell people enough times with enough enthusiasm, they'll believe anything. And from that movie, that's where the term comes from. So you're gaslighting me. But there are 11 things that you can look for that someone does that basically they're narcissists and they gaslight people to control. And it's really something that they don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to do these things to control people. They've just learned these kind of like subconscious skills to be able to skate in the world and not have to carry any blame and not have to do any work to get better. And there's usually a path of destruction behind them.
But the spell they cast is so damaging.
I mean,
to break the chain to get out of that spell and the stuff that's moved forward into that, you know, it's hard. You know, somebody said to me, you know, how do you practice what you preach? I mean, it's there. You cannot not see it, right? But it takes a lot of work. And Carla, we're talking long-standing relationships. It's been years of this cycle of abuse and the trance that they put these people in. It's heartbreaking.
Well, remember, we don't look for healthy in relationships when we go out there. We look for familiar. And narcissists are attracted to those who can be taken advantage of by them. and that want to be loved, want someone to care for them, and that are needy. And so these people that are narcissistic, subconsciously, they just recognize it, and then they're drawn to it. And so this is a list of things that narcissists will do to try to control and get to the point where you're talking about. They tell blatant lies. They deny they ever said something, even though you have proof. They use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. They wear you down over time. Their actions don't match their words. They throw in positive reinforcement to confuse you. That's a big one. They know confusion weakens people. They project. In other words, they're a drug user or a cheater, but they're constantly accusing you of that. They try to align people against you. They tell you or others that you're crazy. And they tell you everyone else is a liar. So, you know, on one hand, they're telling everybody else that you're crazy. They're telling you that you're crazy. They're isolating you by confusing you, saying, you're wonderful, you're great, and then also telling you you're crazy at the same time. So you, because you're this kind of needy, dry sponge, you soak up any water that comes your way, and sooner or later, you don't know it, but you're this person who cannot get away. And you don't even know that you can't, and that you're stuck there.
And that's the... We see that, and we see that side. And it's weird because, you know, as my husband said to me, he was always a supporter of my intuition. And you would see people at the most broken part of their life emerging from some of these relationships. And you knew, I just knew by looking at them, they were going to find the other side where they could set themselves free and feel and love and learn and explore and find that success.
But you know where you got that intuition? From where you came from, because you've hurt and you've suffered, and you know, it's like when you see somebody who's been through it, there literally it's an intuition. You intuit that same feeling. You can see it because you've been there.
Oh yeah.
And you've overcome.
100%. When you put those things together, though, bringing that forward into stepping into a divorce, like actually taking the steps to proceed in finalizing and moving on with that piece. Carla, what do you see with that?
Well, I see a person who, when they're the sort of the victim, that person, it's hard sometimes to advise them because they have the other person chirping in the ear saying, your lawyer's stupid. You know, your lawyer doesn't know what she's doing. You know, she's just dumb. She doesn't, you know, and I tell them, they're going to tell you to fire me and that the two of you could just work it out without me. And then they come back to me and they said, guess what? Guess what? They want me to fire you. And I said, yes, because I level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like the playing field.
Correct.
Level. They
Correct.
Can't process the level playing field. They only can relate to you when you're, you know, when you're subordinate to them. And every bad marriage that comes in the door, it's an uneven playing field. And I come in, I level that playing field. And they hate me, the other side.
And they don't like the therapist, right?
Same
they
thing.
Don't like the coach.
Yeah.
It's the whole atmosphere.
We're all idiots.
All of us. But that's who carries you over those lines. And that's, if there's one person out there listening to it, you know, if this is striking you, search it. Go with your gut, because your gut's telling you, you know what you need to do.
By the way, if there's only one way you can hurt a narcissist and make them weak. Money. Hurt them. That's the only place it hurts, because they don't. In a way, they don't have a soul.
Right. Right. It's like litigating against a terrorist because they don't care about collateral damage.
Nope.
And you know that's the hardest part is they don't care if it damages the children because that's collateral damage to them doesn't matter.
If they contradict what they said 5 minutes ago, it doesn't matter as long as it serves their purpose now.
And
cross-examining them is fun.
Oh. You know,
because what you have to do when you cross-examine them is you have to, they want to get on the stand and act like Mr. Charming or Ms. Charming, but then you have to point out their flaws and then they get angry.
And I've seen this in the courtroom because an attorney will take that onion and peel each layer of the skin away. And then you're left there with the raw onion.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing to see on a professional level because they're not in control.
And negotiating with them is a little different. negotiating them, you got to tell them how great they are. You've been such a good provider. You know, I think you're going to want to continue to provide for this family. You know, you have to make it seem like you're on their side. And, you know, and I will say to my client, I'm going to be really nice to your spouse. I am on your side, trust me, but, you know, they're going to think I'm on their side.
You kind of sound like a narcissist, Carla.
I wasn't going to go there.
Well, maybe it's well, required.
You're hired to be that case.
Hey, Carla, he shares the love. Can you tell? That's why we're on speed dial. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I am the divorce reality expert. You can reach me at divorcerealityexpert.com, and I can always get you in touch with these people. Let's take that quick commercial break because we got more to talk about.
We'll be right back. All right, final segment, Nan Cohen, divorce reality expert for a Tuesday night. Nan.
You know, it's amazing. When you looked at me with that dead stare, and you said, how to disarm a narcissist? And you said, money. You definitely got the key to that one, huh? Given that money is the root of all evil and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can give them that in a divorce, but then the money is the one thing, but then we got a custody issue, right? So they'll give them the money, and then all of a sudden they're fighting for the custody, which usually the narcissistic person just wants to control the custody, doesn't really want the custody, correct?
Well, right. So, well, sometimes the custody issue does still have to do with money, because either it's a child support issue or it's, well, if I can take this away from you, I put you in a position to negotiate money better. You know, somebody will say to me, like, I just want my kids, you know, let them have the money. And, you know, so they go after what's most important to the other person to try to get what they really want.
It's comes down back to John, to the money. He always knows his stuff.
Well, it is the money. And usually what happens is that the parent who was kind of the non-parent only cares about saving face, the outward appearance of the divorce. So they look like they're a good parent and that they wanted the kids, but in reality, they don't care. And what happens is that they just want 50% custody because they want 50% of the money.
So I have an odd question for you. Your statement with the narcissistic person really wants this image, right? They want to think everything, they look the part. But do they ever really realize that everybody around them has figured it out?
Well,
do they ever have that moment?
Well, but usually a lot of narcissistic people, if they're good, and I put that in quotes, they're powerful. They have a lot of money. So people are attracted to power and money. So people don't want to be on the no list when it comes to being around the narcissist and their parties and everything else in their country club and things like that.
I can go up against you with that because I don't always think. I think the power is part of it, but I also see that in simple, you know, ordinary, realistic issues. I see family damage.
Well, right.
Childhood damage. I see that as part of a narcissistic cycle as well.
And when they don't have power, when they don't have lots of money, yeah, you can still be a narcissist and live in a, you know, in a smaller home.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not always the materialistic things or the evidence. I mean, we see this in...
Well, it's control, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, frankly, we all are controlling our environment. We have to. We're an animal. And if we control our environment, then we're safe. So some of us just do it in a healthy way. Some don't.
I remember having a discussion with a psychiatrist in regards to a client. And I remember the psychiatrist had said to me at the end of the conversation, Nan, get real. Everybody has narcissistic tendencies. It's innate in all of us to some degree.
Yeah.
And I hung the phone there and I'm thinking to myself, well, that was pretty prolific. You know, it was.
So apparently I have them.
You just were told that, see?
As a lawyer.
See? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now he puts a clarifier on there. Listen, I want to thank you both for coming in so much because there's so much that goes around divorce. And I always say we always try to make a great mind, body, and soul get healthy again because divorce drags it down. And there is help and there's obstacles, but I always say you can overtake them. Don't let it overtake you. And reach out. Get the proper people in place. know what you need to do. It's hard to break the spell. I get it. You got these people that are in, you know, unhappy relationships for years, and you don't understand what the other side can look like when you're out there able to go and explore and feel and take that draw to a much better place. So I thank you. And Rob, all that means is I have to get them back in the fall. Can you mark that in the book?
Okay, I'll mark it in the
book. Yeah, mark
Thanks
it in the book.
You, man.
All right, Duffy, you need to get in touch with John Duffy. You can always reach me. I can get you to him. Carla, with the law firm Petragallo, all you've got to do is look up Petragallo and you will find you. Me, you can always find me at divorcerealityexpert.com. You can always reach me on the phone, 412-996-3346, 996-3346. It's that time of the year where tensions get up, you know, custody schedules and stress, and whether you're in a new custody situation or an old one or your divorce just finalized last week, it's always about the change. But as Carl and I say, this is the rush before the summer, and we get everybody, you know, situated, and then it starts changing right after Labor Day, and then we do that slide into to the end part of the year. So take the time that you need for yourself. I know you would say, don't go to bed at night with your head pounding and your heart beating, Dr. Duffy. There are ways to work through these things, and I always like the fact that you always find the way to do that. Uncomplicated, by the way. It's so simplistic when you have these conversations and you can get yourself on board to do that. Carla, if for you, I bring your piece into this whole divorce process. It's going to be, it is what it is, right? You can't magnify and put things aren't in a marital estate. The emotional piece, the business side of the divorce, you got to get through it. And you both do so much for all of us that have been in that situation or going to take that journey through it. But you have to understand the help is always out there for you. Closing thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think you said it best. I mean, I think you want to plant your feet after the dust settles, and it takes some time for that dust to settle, and then give yourself some time and reach out to people who have been there and done it before, and don't be a babe in the woods. But you'll make the right decision. Follow your emotions. Just don't be emotional when you make one.
I like that.
Whoa, let's get that one. We got that on record. Good job. We're going to hit you up for that one. Carla, we always learn from him, don't we?
Every single time.
All right, I love you both. Thank you.
Love you too.
I can't do it without you guys.
Rob,
so.
Thanks.
Yes.
And Mr.
Rob.
Handsome over there wore his jacket for us tonight. All right, I'll see
you. Nothing but the best for you guys.
I'll see you in a couple weeks. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
I will. You all too. All right, stay with us. Lenny on the other side. Time to get down to the business of Decision 2025 next.